Our reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But the man answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said that to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My wife and I were recently talking with a friend who serves as a nurse in one of our local hospitals. And she was talking about how in her vocation, her foundation is the love of Christ made known to her in her baptism and through her Christian community where she had called home. Certainly, she may not be able to always confess Christ or be able to pray with every patient, but in those difficult times when people were looking at health issues and making decisions, it was the cross of Christ that she would cling. As she continued to talk about this, she started to talk about this group of patients that had recently got her attention. These were patients who were in the hospital, often in their last days, who had no one to call on them, besides maybe the hospital staff. Often these were older patients who maybe spouse or friends had passed away, were no longer mobile to be able to come to the hospital and visit. Maybe their children did not live close by, or maybe they hadn't even outlived their own children. And they did not have a Christian community that was sending pastors and church workers and people of the flock to come and visit and to remind them of the love known in Jesus Christ. So this woman had taken it upon herself during breaks, showing up early, staying late, taking an extra long way back maybe to where she needed to go so that she could check in on these patients. "I have no one." These are not just the words of the invalid that Jesus healed in our text for today, but also for many people in our world. Perhaps you can think of others, or perhaps yourself have been there, or even are there now. There are feelings of isolation and loneliness. This old man had had his own issues in finding health and healing at the pool. He didn't know where to find true healing. For 38 years, this man had not been able to walk or run or dance, as we heard yesterday, or to even take care of his own needs at the market, and so on and so forth. We don't know how many years he had been at the waters of Bethesda just waiting. In Aramaic, Bethesda means house of mercy or house of hesed, but for him, the pool was a house of disappointment. He didn't have anyone to help him to the waters that seemed to have miraculous powers of healing who entered it just at the right time, once a year or so. And on top of it, this pool was at the temple in Jerusalem, where Jews had been taught that the temple was where God was present and where he could go, where people could go to give sacrifice and to seek something from God. The temple was in the middle of a busy time with a festival going on and it being Sabbath. And Jesus came to make a hospital visit, if you will. Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" And Jesus' question is one that initiates conversation. But rather than an exuberant yes, the man responds with the sad statement, "Sir, I have no one." The invalid was seeking in the wrong place for healing, wholeness, and new life. But when in fact he had someone, the one had come. The one had sought him out in the crowd and conversed with him. So how is it for you this morning? And what situations do you struggle with? And what situations do you want particular healing? From health burdens, financial burdens, sins of thought, word, and deed, sins of idolatry for looking for peace and wholeness in places that cannot deliver. Maybe even health has become an idol. For in our sinfulness, we often misplace our trust when seeking wholeness, healing, and health. But Jesus visits us this morning in his word and shows his care for you. The text is part of a larger argument that Jesus gets into with religious leaders of the day about his divinity and about his relationship with their heavenly Father and about the place of God's law. But at the center of that argument is the hospital call that Jesus makes. He shows his love for the invalid, one that doesn't even know Jesus, his name, or his identity. The man can't even help himself, and Jesus says one simple phrase to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And suddenly the man was healed. His joints, his ligaments, his muscles, after now 38 years not having been used, worked perfectly and with no need to work with a physical trainer or for checkup appointments. For Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus' act of healing was the one of love and creation. He made the man whole in his healing and gave him a new life. And we, people of God, have the one who makes us whole, the one who spoke those words of healing that day in Jerusalem, seeks us out and makes himself known to us and makes us his own. We have the one who spoke the words at the cross, "It is finished," giving us victory over sin, Satan, disease, and death. And by his doing, we have the one who doesn't just heal at a pool in one place, but sent out his apostles and church into the world with the promise in their ears, "Lo, I am with you always." And we have this Jesus that draws himself to us in the cool healing waters of baptism and continues to heal the sick with words of promise and in caring communities. He brings healing to us and gives us opportunities to walk with him in his mission. In a way, we can be like the man healed as he went out and told religious leaders who Jesus was. In a way, we are called to do the same. In our vocations, we bring the words and love of the one to those who feel like they have no one, to tell others who think they have no one that Jesus cares for them. In our relationships here and outside of work, we get to tell about the healer, Jesus. Be encouraged in your work in this building that what you do supports others who are part of God's mission to point people where only the forgiveness of our sins can be found. What a blessing we have to support congregations and schools in their important work of pointing to the one. We help parents be present with their children and teaching the faith and showing Christian love. We get to resource and encourage pastors and church workers to make that one extra hospital call to the person who feels they are alone. We are able to support youth workers, so many who are parents and volunteers, to be present for young people who may feel alone with the temptations, distractions, and transitions that take place in adolescence. As we do our work together, may we find strength and healing in the one Jesus. Amen.